Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program this morning. Glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles in this message, I'm going to be preaching from the book of Galatians in the New Testament, Paul's epistle to the churches of Galatia, chapter 6, and some of the last verses of this chapter, verses 14 through 16. That's my text, Galatians 6, 14 through 16, if you want to go ahead and find that in your Bibles. And the title of the message today is The Power of the Cross. The Power of the Cross. And let's start out, let's read verse 14, where the apostle writes by inspiration of the Spirit. He says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Now, first of all, let me just talk a little bit about this term, the cross. Now, we all know historically that the Lord Jesus Christ died on a cross, a wooden cross, on Golgotha's Hill, Calvary, and that was the crucifixion. The crucifixion of Christ. Crucifixion was one of the most terrible, torturing ways of punishing criminals. It was a Roman form of punishment. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was tried and in the courts of the Romans under Pilate and in the court of Herod and the Sanhedrin, all of them turned thumbs down on him. And of course, that's a representation of lost humanity, which includes ourselves. He was hanged on a cross. But the cross, and you know, the cross has come to represent, it's come to be a symbol of Christianity. And that's not necessarily a bad thing if you understand what the cross means and understand that there's no power in crosses that you make or that you wear. You know, people hang up crosses on their walls. They have jewelry crosses around their neck and all of that and in churches. But you need to understand what that cross represents, what it means. Now, let me caution you this way. I do not like crucifixes. And what I mean by crucifixes is little images of the cross that have images of a man hanging on them. They call him Jesus. You know, that to me takes it too far. But he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. In another place, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul talked about the preaching of the cross. He said the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, and it's the power of God to those who believe. And so we preach Christ crucified, he said. And that Christ crucified is the wisdom and the power of God. Over in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, I strive not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so we're talking about the cross. But what does that cross mean? Well, the cross is not a piece of wood. When we read it in the Bible, when he talks about glorying in the cross, Paul is not saying that I'm glorying in a piece of wood, obviously. And I've even, when I was growing up, I heard about people going to the what they call the Holy Land now, and they would think that somebody would sell them what they thought was a piece of the cross. And of course, most people don't get fooled by stuff like that. That's just religious Pharisaism and iconoclast, all of that. The cross, what Paul is talking about, is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and what Christ as God manifest in the flesh, what he actually accomplished by his death on the cross. That's what Paul's talking about. When you go through the scriptures, you'll see various words and terms used to describe what Christ suffered unto death and what that meant and what he accomplished. For example, the cross is one of those terms. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What he's talking about is what Christ accomplished as his surety, his substitute, and his redeemer. Other phrases like the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. The blood of Christ. The gospel is the gospel of the cross. It's the gospel of the blood. That's the same thing. The cross means his death. The blood means his death. So we're saved by the blood of Christ, justified by his blood. And then the most comprehensive term that the Bible uses to describe the glorious person and the finished work of Christ is the phrase, the righteousness of God. We find that, for example, in Romans 1, 16 and 17, where the apostle wrote there, he said, For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Now keep that word in mind. We're talking about the power of the cross. The gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek or the Gentile also. And then in verse 17 he says, for therein, that is in the gospel, is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. So the gospel is the revelation of the cross. It's the revelation of the blood. It's the revelation of the righteousness of God. And what is the righteousness of God there? The word righteousness means the justice of God. And that's what Christ did on the cross. Christ, who is God, manifest in the flesh without sin, God-man, went to the cross. Philippians 2 says he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so that's how far he went to do what? To die in the place of the people whom God had given him. He was made surety for his people. That is, their sin debt was charged, accounted to him, imputed to him, charged to him. And the debt that he had to pay was death. The wages of sin is death. So he had to die to satisfy the justice of God for their sins. And in that satisfaction, we find righteousness, the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in the cross of Jesus Christ. It can only be found in Christ. Christ is my righteousness. As my sin debt was imputed, charged to him, and he died in my place as my surety and my substitute and my redeemer, his righteousness has the merit, the value of his obedience unto death, satisfying the justice of God, has been imputed to me, charged to me. So I stand before God, not in my own works. I don't glory in my own works. I stand before God in the righteousness of another, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what his cross represents. So when Paul says, God forbid that I should glory. Now that word glory, in verse 14, is to boast. It is an expression of confidence. Now, we all know people who are braggarts, who boast of their accomplishments, who boast in themselves, and they're usually turnoffs, aren't they? But Paul says, God forbid that I should boast, that I should have any ground of confidence, save or except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Over in the book of Philippians chapter 3, we see this word glory used again. in Philippians 3, where Paul writes, we are the circumcision. Now, what he's talking about there is spiritual circumcision, which is the new birth. And so, he's talking about those who are spiritual Jews. Who is a spiritual Jew? Every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person who's been born again by the Spirit, Jew or Gentile. If you're ethnically a Jew, physically, if you're not a believer, then you're not the spiritual circumcision, a spiritual Jew. If you're ethnically a Gentile, if you are a believer, then you are a spiritual Jew. Paul brought that in Romans when he talked about he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but which is one inwardly. Circumcision is that of the heart. But in Philippians 3:3, he says, we are the circumcision. We worship God in the spirit, we worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. That word rejoice there in Philippians 3:3 is the same exact word used here, translated glory, in Galatians 6:14. We rejoice, we glory, we boast, we have confidence in Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh, he says. And that's what he's stating here in our text in Galatians 6:14. God forbid. Oh my, there's not a stronger expression in the Word of God to say that this is something that we are not to do. God forbid that I should glory in anything except one thing, and what's that? The glorious person and the finished work of Christ. And so, what does he mean? I boast of being saved, being a child of God. Upon what ground, Paul? The cross of Christ, the blood of Christ, the righteousness of Christ freely imputed, charged to me, and which I have received by God-given faith. And so, what we see there is the foundation of what comes later. Now listen to the next part of this verse, Galatians 6:14. He says, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now the first part of that verse shows the power of the cross to establish a believer's right relationship with God. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. The second part, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world, that shows the power of the cross to establish the believer's relationship with the world. And I'll come back to that. But now look at verses 15 and 16. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation, new creature. That's a new creation. And verse 16. Now listen. And as many as walk according to this rule, this doctrine, this gospel. What rule? God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace be on them. They're at peace with God. We can recognize that. And mercy. God has had mercy upon them and upon the Israel of God. That's spiritual Israel, friend. That's talking about believers. The literal translation of the word Israel, those who have prevailed with God. How do I, a sinner, prevail with God? Through the cross, through Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. So that shows the power of the cross to establish my relationship with brethren in the faith. You see what I'm saying there? The power of the cross. Now let's go back one more time. First, the power of the cross to establish a right relationship with God. And here's what we have to deal with. Here's the question we have to ask. How can I, a sinner, have a right relationship with a holy and just God who must punish sinners, who must punish sinners to whom sin is imputed? How in the world can that happen? God is righteous, and I am not. God is just, and I'm not. God is holy, but I'm a sinner. And so the question of questions that really pervades the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is this: how then can man, sinful, wretched, depraved man, How can he be righteous, just with God? And then that raises another question. How can a holy God, who must in justice punish all sinners to whom sin is imputed, how can he remain just and still have mercy and still be gracious, still justify a sinner like me? How can that be? Well, the answer is found in the power of the cross. Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what Christ came to do for the people whom God had given him. The elect, that's who he's talking about. That's who he's describing here. How do I know if I'm one of God's elect? Have you ever asked that question? Now, you may say, well, preacher, I just don't believe in election. My friend, if you don't believe in election, you don't believe the Bible. Now, that's just the long and the short of it. That when I first came to see the reality of the Bible, I believed at that time I was a Christian, but I wasn't. I found out that I was denying most of the Bible because I'd either denied it openly or ignored it. The Bible says, be diligent to make your calling and your election sure. Now, why would it say that if election didn't exist? God chose a people and gave them to Christ. Now, you want to say, well, he chose everybody. If you want to say that, that's up to you, but that's not what the Bible teaches. If that makes you feel better, then go on with it. But I'm telling you, you're wrong. You're looking towards a wrong view of salvation. God chose a people. And Christ said this in John 6:37. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and all who come to me I will in no wise cast out. People will say all kinds of crazy things when they're confronted with election. Like, for example, they say, well, then it doesn't matter what I do. If I'm elect, I'll be saved. If I'm not, I won't. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God chose a people, gave them to Christ, who died in their stead on the cross, brought forth an everlasting righteousness that God has imputed to them. And that being the case, he's going to give them life from the dead. They're going to be made new creatures. They're going to be born again. And how do I know that I'm one of them? Well, as many as walk according to this rule, he said. What rule do you walk by? Here's the rule that I walk by the grace of God. God forbid that I should glory, boast, have confidence, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. My glory, my boasting is not in my works. My boasting is not even in a decision that I made. You know, people boast in their decisions. Now, how do you know you're saved? Well, I decided for Christ, walked an aisle, got baptized, said the sinner's prayer and got baptized. Is that what you glory in? Well, my friend, that's deadly. God forbid that I should glory except in what Christ did on that cross. And out of his death, as he was buried and arose again the third day, comes life for his people. And that life is evidenced by walking according to the gospel rule. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the cross that establishes a sinner's right relationship with God. You see, Christ died for the sins of his people. He calls them his sheep, his brethren, his church. And he satisfied the justice of God for those sins, for those whom he died. That's called a propitiation. He turned back the wrath of God because the wrath of God was poured down upon him in their place. He's their substitute. He's their surety. The debt was put to his account. He's their substitute. He died on the cross. He paid the debt. He paid the price. And it was his own blood. Redemption. So, how do you know who they are? They walk according to this rule. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. And as a result of what Christ accomplished on that cross, God imputes the righteousness that Christ worked out to them. 2 Corinthians 5:21 speaks of that. Christ, for God made him sin, to be sin, Christ. Christ who knew no sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I have no righteousness to come before God and be accepted. I have one righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ imputed to me. How do I know it's imputed to me? I've received him by God-given faith. I glory, I boast, I have confidence in nothing but the cross of Christ. And that's the power of the cross to establish my right relationship with God. And then the power of the cross establishes my relationship with the world. How do I look at the world now? Well, Paul says, by whom, this is verse 14, by whom the world is crucified unto me. The world is cursed. The world is lost. The world is dead. My hope's not in the world. And this is how the world looks at me. I unto the world. They look upon me as being cursed. I've had people tell me, you know, when I preach the gospel to them, said, well, you've gone crazy. You know, or I won't believe that. You know, that's not what people want to hear. And this is why, you know, the Jews, they boasted in their physical connection with Abraham. They boasted in their physical circumcision. They boast in their law keeping. Paul says in verse 15 here, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Whether you're physically circumcised as a Jew or physically uncircumcised as a Gentile, that means absolutely nothing as far as a right relationship with God. A new creature, a new creation. What is that new creation? That's a born-again sinner who has been given God-given faith and brought to repentance of dead works and idolatry, and he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. He glories in nothing but the cross. And you remember what Christ said to his disciples. He said, marvel not if the world hates you. They hated me before they hated you. They'll throw you out of their church services, their synagogue. See, that's our relation. If you're a believer, if you glory only in the cross, your relationship with the world is not good. You're not in fellowship with the world. Christ told his spoke of his disciples. They are in the world, but they're not of the world. You see, you're in a different world. You're in a kingdom that's different. Not the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of the flesh, or the kingdom of the world. You're in the kingdom of God. And though you're in this world and you're in this world as a light that shines in darkness, crying, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. And that's our relation, the power of the cross to establish that relationship with the world. And then thirdly, here's the power of the cross to establish our right relationship with brethren in the faith. Look at verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule. Now that word rule, we get our English word canon, not meaning a cannon you shoot a cannonball out of, but canonical beliefs, the canon, the system of doctrine. That's what that's talking about. It's a rule that those who have been born again, those who are new creatures, creations, walk by. And what is that rule? Well, he stated it up in verse 14. Here's the rule. And you can state it many ways, and it is throughout the Scripture. But it's God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's how we recognize brethren in the faith. He says, those who walk according to this rule, peace be on them. We can speak peace to them. We can say, that's my brother in Christ. That's my sister in Christ. We walk by the same rule. It's not that one's walking by one rule and another by another rule, see. We walk by one rule. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross. You know, one of the marks of false preachers is they'll speak peace when there is no peace. If I find somebody who is not walking by this rule, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Christ, I cannot tell them, you're my brother in Christ. You're my sister in Christ. I have to tell them they're lost. But those who do, peace be on them. And mercy. That means I can recognize that God has been merciful to that person. If that person truly believes that rule, of that gospel rule, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross, I can recognize God's been merciful to you. And mercy comes to sinners through Christ. And through the cross, the mercy seat is Christ, crucified and risen from the dead. And then thirdly, up on the Israel of God. Now the Israel of God there refers to spiritual Israel. The church, the true church. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jew and Gentile. Now a lot of preachers today, because of wrong teaching that began somewhere around the mid-1800s, we'll tell you, no, that's talking about the physical nation of Israel, but it's not. Paul has established in the book of Romans the fact that Israel, the Israel of God, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people, they'll tell you, well, that's replacement theology. You're saying the church replaced the Jews. It is not. It's the church has always been around since the first believer. It's a member of the true spiritual church of God called spiritual Israel. But the church has never replaced any nation here on earth. What I call, I'll tell you what it is. It's fulfillment theology. The church, Israel, the nation, the rebellious nation, which God destroyed, was a type of the church in certain ways, but not in all ways. The spiritual church will never be destroyed. And that's what this is. We're part of the family of God, the spiritual family of God. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he's a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that not of the flesh, but of the heart. Of the heart. That's a believer. If you walk by this rule, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, you're a spiritual Jew. You're a member of spiritual Israel. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries, or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969, or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.